And now a reading from James chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Excuse me. Come now, you rich people, weep and wail for the miseries that are coming to you. Your riches have rotted, and your clothes are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have rusted, and their rust will be evidence against you, and it will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure for the last days. Listen, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in pleasure. You have fattened your hearts on a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous one who does not resist you. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Indeed, we call blessed those who showed endurance. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Oh, that was sad. You've been awake at least an hour now. Good morning. How are the people of God this morning? Are you well? Is it a good morning? Of course it is. And you know why it is? It is because this is the day that the Lord has made. I don't know about y'all, but I get happy with each one he give me. Anybody happy? Oh, come on now. You happy? Glory! I am thankful to my friend and colleague, Pastor Emily. She's a jewel, and I just love her so much. Amen. Kind of wish that we were into cloning, but that's illegal, isn't it? So I just put her on the copy machine. How about that? And just run off a few more. Let me bring you greetings on behalf of our Bishop, Bishop Sue Halpert Johnson. Let me bring you greetings on behalf of our District Superintendent, Reverend Lindsay Bainham. You know, there's this thing about being old. Well, I saw all of these cheering come up past the Board of Ministry and just now they're serving here, there, and everywhere. But I am thankful that we have a new wave of younger clergy that are coming in and are really setting the world on fire. And let me say that I've heard about you. I know who you are. And you are a great church that has done great work in this community and beyond. And so I want to say thank you for all of the good work that you have done. And as I prepare to engage this time, I want to start with a word of apology. I'm sorry. Really, really sorry. Do you forgive me? This is where you say yes. Okay. Do you forgive me? I'm sorry that the 14 other preachers they invited could not come. So you're stuck with me, but I feel good. Anybody feel good? I feel good. I feel like the man who took an alley cat to the cat show. Well, you know, there are these feral cats, right? They roam around the neighborhood. If you put out some food, put out some milk, they come. You keep putting it out. They keep coming. This man kept doing it, and this cat came. Ugliest cat you ever wanted to see. Had a broke leg, had a torn ear, hair was falling out. But he took this cat to a cat show. And there the judges were going around with their little pads looking down and fawning over the Pekingese and signing me all them easy cats and carried on till they came to this cat. And they looked at the cat. Then they looked at the man. Looked at the cat. They said, "Sir, you did not think this cat would win an award at this show, did you?" Man said, "No, I didn't think he'd win anything. I just thought he'd benefit by the exposure. I don't think I'm going to win anything today. I thought I might just benefit from the exposure." Would you pray with me? Almighty God, it is once and again that we thank you for your goodness, for your grace, but especially, O God, for the presence of your Holy Spirit in this space and place. And we pray that that same Holy Spirit will just fill this place, indwell your people, and have its way. Move me out of the way. Speak in me, speak through me, but most importantly, speak despite me, that the people might hear from heaven. All this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the people of God all said, Amen. James! Y'all were studying the book of James. You studied 4 chapters. This is 5. So I can go sit now. Because you know everything they need to know about the book of James. Right? Not quite yet. Okay. And you know that James is a book that almost did not make it into the Bible. Did you know that? That the early church fathers and some famous religious leaders later on did not think it was Christological. What the ham sandwich doing? That means they didn't think there was enough Jesus in the book to merit being included in the canon of the Bible. They also thought that it was theologically deficient. How so? Because in James, as you know, in that first chapter and going forward, talks about faith without works is dead. Is that right? Did I get that right? I don't always get stuff right, so I'm asking you. And it hints at a theology of works righteousness. In other words, I can work my way into the kingdom, whereas Paul and all of his letters says we are saved by grace through faith. So we are saved by faith alone. And there was some conflict about that, but things being just as sure as grits is grocery and chicken is poultry, it made its way into the book. And you've been studying it. You know that it was written by somebody named James. And we all know who that was. I was there, but I wasn't in the room when it was written. And scholars say that it is probably more likely James, the brother of Jesus, who is a leader of the church in Jerusalem during the first century. That's what they don't know. But that's what they think. And you all know that it was written to the church at large in Palestine. The first century Palestine, also called by the Romans Judea. Have you ever heard that before? Judea was occupied mainly by Jewish folk and mainly by peasant class, subsistence farmers, fishermen, poor folk who had been taxed out the yin-yang, are you with me here, and many times lost their land, lost their livelihood, and they were just on the edge of falling completely off. And so a lot of widows, a lot of orphans, a lot of poor folk. They had a lot of poor folk, which used to be a good restaurant. I don't know what happened to it, but you had to be old enough to remember that. And so James is writing to them, for them, but he uses this book as an opportunity to excoriate the higher classes. And those were usually the Roman officials. Those were usually the priestly class people. And he excoriated, he chided them, he pointed fingers at them because they had gained their wealth at the expense of other people. In other words, they were exploiters. And he was angry about it. Did you sense that? In the book, yeah, he gets after them with a lead pipe, beating them all about the head and shoulders. And so that's what happens in the book. And he begins the book in a way that almost makes me want to close it and put it away and not read no more. Count it all joy, he says, when trials and tribulations come your way. And that's why I say, Brother James, I love the Lord. Anybody here love the Lord? I give my tithes. Anybody here give that? Every hand should go up. That's a free stewardship sermon, by the way. But I just don't think suffering needs to be part of the deal. But if you think about it, how many of you are disciples of Jesus Christ? Okay. And being a disciple of Christ means every day we try to be more and more and more, more and more and more like Jesus. Now, riddle me this, Batman. If Jesus was crucified and we're trying to be like... Anybody with me here? What makes us think we ain't going to catch it? That's just, but anyway, so the chapter that we're concerned about, because I only have 5 minutes more. You know, no other church that I've ever been to did I have a countdown clock reminding me. So at about an hour and a half, I do. You get that. Some of you get that at 3 a.m., but that's all right. But he's once again poking and prodding those who have obtained things at the expense or exploitation of others. Their clothing, their jewelry, their homes, their sumptuous surroundings. And he's telling them, you know, all this stuff is corroding, going away. It's going to evaporate. It's going to be, I said, Clarence, I said, what? I said, put yourself in the shoes of those that he's beaten up. And I found out, as I did so, I started stepping all over my own feet. Anybody ever step on your own feet? Because it was talking about me. Because I like stuff. Anybody here like stuff? I like a lot of stuff. And not only do I like stuff, I want stuff. And not only do I want stuff, I want more stuff. I want new stuff. I want big stuff. I want best stuff. I used to drive a hoopty. Ask your black neighbor what that means. Just, that's a car that burns 3 quarts of oil going from here to there and going back. And it makes you a prayerful person. You say, oh Lord, please get me to. But my entire dream was I got to get me a BMW. I can't tell you how many years I talked about getting a BMW. Why? Not because I needed one, but because I would look so smooth. Are you with me here? I wanted the biggest, the better, the best. You know? And I got a 5. And then I said, no, this ain't going to do. So I got a 7. And just as sure as grits is grocery, chicken is poultry, it started having hiccups. And do you know it costs a whole bunch of money to get that thing fixed? I said, nay, nay, gotta go. I like stuff. I look good. You don't have to. I know I look good. And, you know, I like certain things. I like silk ties. I like wool suits, naturally adorned and well tailored, you know. Now, I would look just as good in Two Sisters, Polly and Esther. Are you with me here? I don't need this, but I want it. And then I had to ask myself, why is it that I want this stuff so bad? And after reflection, I had to, do any of you all, when you go home, grab the remote and turn on the idiot box? Yeah, I said it. Yeah. And watch your favorite programs, but in between, and every 15 minutes or so, there's what? Commercials! And I know, because my wife was, past tense, the regional marketing manager for McDonald's. And their whole life and all the money they spent on advertising was so that you would buy one more hamburger. And parenthetically, at a gathering once, I was with some of her colleagues, and I said, just how many hamburgers do you think you could sell? And they looked at me like I had dropped in from Planet Zircon. Yes. Are you with me here? Because because Madison Avenue knows you. Madison Avenue spends a whole lot of money investigating you, so that they know what buttons to push, that you not only want whatever they're pushing, but you need whatever they're pushing. And sometimes it don't make no sense. For example, what does a woman in a red bikini have to do with me buying a car? Y'all with me here? They're trying to push a button that says, if you buy this car, this woman will go out with you. How many of you know that ain't gonna happen? First of all, because my wife would shoot me. But what it means is that we have to stop and think. Anybody here able to think? Think and evaluate what you are sucking in, because we're part of this whole thing. And it's normative. We live in a culture of overt materialism and conspicuous consumption. We want stuff. Do we need stuff? No. But the other thing is, I have to really think about how I use my money, what I use it for, and the stuff that I use my money for. Stuff does not last, is what James tells us, isn't it? Stuff corrodes at faith. We buy stuff, we use stuff, and then we throw stuff away. Our garbage cans are filled to overflowing with stuff, especially the recycle, because that's where all the Amazon boxes go. Listen, my wife is addicted. Every other day, there's a brown box on my stoop with her name on it. I'm sorry, dear. I didn't mean to out you or lie. But there's this aspect, that this need, this greed, this jealousy, this envy infects not just individuals, but it infects the globe, does it not? Because nations fight against nations, seemingly for some political advantage, but mark my words, it's about stuff. They need access to minerals. They need access to gold. They need access to diamonds. They need access to oil. You with me here? They need access to the next big fight in global terms, not oil, water. Because some places have not. Are you with me? You've seen the pictures of people stand, 150 people at one pump. And if you've ever been to Africa, then you know that those women carry gallon upon their head and walk 5 to 10 miles to bring it, and they use it sparingly. We got to change our engagement with stuff because it's a trap. And it gets you, and it sucks you in. And you know the hard part? Most times you don't even know you're being sucked in because it's normal. But we as Christians, we as disciples of Jesus Christ, must avoid the trap, and we must help others avoid the trap. How do we do that? Well, I'm glad you asked me. I'm at 20 minutes, so I need to sit down. Somebody say amen. We do it by becoming better disciples. We do it by becoming more like Christ. We do it by learning about Christ. We do it by following Christ. We do it by being servants. We do it by being hospitable. We do it by being generous and ordering our lives in such a way that we can put our resources to work for godly purposes. And we do it because we love the Lord. Because we do believe that there was a man who was born in Bethlehem, baptized in the Jordan, betrayed by his friends, tried by Pilate, wounded in his side, worried in a tomb, guarded in his death. But early one Sunday morning, he got up to prove that love is stronger than death. Grace is abundant and overflowing. And here, so that we might avoid any trap that the devil would put in front of us, so that we might produce works that are pleasing to God. That's my prayer this morning for you, prayer this morning for this church, and prayer this morning for the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.